A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hi, hello everybody. Welcome to the Cat Timpf Show. I'm Cat Timpf, and my guest today is Jeff Dye. Hey, Jeff.
Thank you. Applause.
Jeff.
Thank you.
What'd you say of TV and internet?
Yeah, I'm civil rights activist and stand-up comedian Jeff Dye.
Well, I met you on, you were on the Greg Gutfeld show.
I'm trying to have that extracted from my IMDb credits, so if you could please say that you met me in a different environment.
Okay, I met you in a different environment. Hey, come on, it was a good time. You were asked political questions. You didn't really like political questions.
I'm not a political dude. I'm here for the good times, baby. I'm not here for no political talk or arguments.
Yeah, I guess, like, if anything that would prove that it's a joke, it would be maybe this election that proves it's a joke.
Yeah, I don't like... Everyone's arguing. Everywhere I go, but there's tension. People are upset. I'm staying at the Trump Tower, so everybody wants to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, you're staying
at...
I'm staying at...
I guess it's not called Trump Tower. New Yorkers have corrected me on this. I'm at Trump Soho.
The Soho, yeah.
Yeah, and even, like, the people that work there are like, ugh, we're so tired of hearing...
Jesus, like, yeah. Just, it's a place where you're staying.
But it's got Trump written all out of it.
Yeah, well, I would do that, too. If I had, like, owned a bunch of shit, I'd write Timpf all over it.
Well, no one's criticizing that. I'm saying that now that this dude's found himself in a weird political place... It's hard to even, you know, like, feel such strong opinions about a person. What if the best hotel in New York City was called, like, Stalin, you know? And you're like, oh, I'm staying at Stalin Soho. Everyone's like, ugh.
It's kind of how people feel. I mean, well, the pussy tapes have been an interesting time.
Right.
Just because so many people that are defending Trump are saying, well, so what if you said pussy?
Which is strange, because my whole life, I'm not very conservative
right.
by any means. I'm a hippie from Seattle who's very mm-hmm. liberal. But... If, like, they're always the ones that are like, oh, I'm trying to keep it PC and conservative. We don't act like that. We don't talk. If you're going to go on Fox and Friends and promote your little TV shows, you mind your mouth and watch yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yet these same people are saying it's okay for this guy to talk about grabbing pussies.
Right. It wasn't that he said pussy, that he was like, isn't it cool being a man in power and, like, yeah. assault whoever I want? No one cares, which sucks because that's true.
Right.
It's
and
obviously
like, yeah,
true.
I sometimes can't even help myself. I just go up and kiss him. You're like, wait, whoa. That's not even locker room talk.
No,
like,
it's
locker
not.
Room talk is like, do you see that blonde? Wow, the things I do to her. That's locker. I've been in locker rooms. That's how they talk. They don't just brag about, like, sometimes I just walk right up to them. I can't even help myself. I just grab their pusses. Like, it's not, no one's, even dudes in a locker room be like, why is that dork trying to talk to us like that?
Yeah.
It's very rapey.
Yeah, sometimes I put a Tic Tac in my mouth because I'm planning on just walking up and kissing people.
That's a predator. that's not a jock. And another thing, I find it a little strange that these same people that are defending Donald Trump have, like, criticized me for the last 15 years. Like, well, I could do without Jeff Dye's potty mouth.
Yeah.
And now they're defending Trump when I try to say, like, well, that seems like potty mouth to me.
Well, me too, even, because, you know, I do work at Fox, but I'm not Republican. I'm
right.
just, you know, like, libertarian, but socially, I'm extremely liberal.
Yeah.
I believe in nothing. Do whatever you want to do. And, you know, if I say anything, if I swear on my Twitter, man, yeah. do I hear about it
oh, really?
From people, like,
Which
big
is weird.
Time.
Now you can say whatever you want. You got the whole pass.
You would think, but
now
they're...
Now you're a Fox person. You can say whatever the hell you want.
They're kind of just like, well, is that how... It's always how... That's how a lady should talk, though. I think it's more rooted in...
Coley, are you on this?
Sexism.
Am I on Twitter?
No, are you on this podcast?
Edge.
Sometimes I throw to Coley.
I want the people to know Coley is here and present.
Last time I was in here, she kept throwing it to me, and I'd shut my mic off, so I just had to, like, yell towards her
yeah.
so it could pick me up.
I don't know if she's here. Now you're a part of this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm
welcome.
Here.
Coley's
here.
We're also
it.
Here
yeah.
with
I want
Coley.
Want people to know Coley's here.
Yeah.
And your voice doesn't match your look.
Really?
Have people told you that?
No, that's the first time. Usually
yeah.
people...
He's like a big, cool dude, and then and like a kind of like you look like an athlete. I don't know if you are.
Oh, I'm
that's
a big-time athlete.
It's profiling. It's what cops
yeah,
do.
Yeah, you're just profiling Coley.
Yeah, but your voice doesn't sound like the way you look.
You know, do you know Andrew Schultz?
Yeah,
he was on last week, and he was like, "Is your voice a bit?" He's from Boston. He thought his voice was a bit.
A character he was doing for life. Yeah. What a great question, Andrew.
I was so thrown off. Yeah. I was like, "No, this is how I speak always."
Which is always. That's also inappropriate to ask a human being if their voice is fake. Essentially, that's what you're saying.
Is it a bit?
Hey, you know the way you speak. That can't be honest.
I get shit about my voice all the time, obviously.
You got that raspy.
I've got a very raspy
very
voice.
Female comedian voice. Lots of comedians work that. I mean, they're not working it, but like a lot of women with your voice find their way into comedy.
I did stand up for years, like all the time.
Yeah, so that you fit my thing. The profile.
I fit the profile. Well, the pussy thing, did you hear that? That back to the pussy thing real quick.
You want to know how I heard it? Just so you know that my political... Just so you know how I get information.
I really do.
I literally didn't hear about it until like 24 hours later because I don't keep up on any of this stuff. And I saw it on World Star Hip Hop. And I was like, what's this? And I'm like, dude, how have you not heard about that? And I was like, I don't know. I'm too self-involved, like doing my own stand-up comedy or my own dumb career.
How often do you Google yourself?
Never. I never do that.
Oh, come on.
I don't.
All right.
Well, I know everything that's going on in my life. I don't have to Google it.
How are you self-involved?
Well, like all day I'm thinking about my social media or like I'm tweeting a funny joke or I'm getting images sent from my team like post this or here's a clip from whatever.
Checking your likes, checking your RTs.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I spend more time face tuning my own face than I do like paying attention to social things. But it's not selfishness. It's just like I care about my dreams and
I
get to chase it and that's what I'm doing.
I'm unabashedly self-centered.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I care a lot about people, but I'm just... very busy.
I think so too.
Busy man.
And if you have a job like yours or mine, you kind of have that. Your job is yourself.
Yeah. So. I've been doing press since 6 a.m. this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Like that's how annoyingly.
You want to talk more?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's do it more.
And we got beer for you. And yeah, I'm drinking Bud Lights like a douchebag.
But I like that you. Why is that douchey?
I don't know.
People at Fox are going to be very upset that you called people that drink Bud Light douchey.
That's all right.
That's their people.
Did you see, so then you didn't see this probably, so there was a roundtable discussion on CNN after Pussygate happened, and there was a Trump supporter who said, okay, well, Hillary likes Beyonce, and so we should be making fun of her. She said, Hillary Clinton expresses the fact that she finds the language on that bus horrific, but in fact, she likes language like this. I came to slay, bitch. When he F me good, I take his ass to Red Lobster. And she said this seriously on the news.
Yeah.
This was her argument, which, again, people think it's about the word pussy. And it's
Well, but it's also like, it's just like, here's the thing. If my dad said what Donald Trump said, no one cares. If I say what Donald Trump said, no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
If Coley said it, anyway, the difference is, we're not running for office.
Right, exactly.
That's what makes it a story.
Exactly.
And also, just because you can find something worse that the other person did is never a good argument. I can't, like, just punch you and then go, yeah, well, at least I didn't murder you. Like,
exactly.
It's still bad. Both are bad.
Exactly.
And then another thing that doesn't make sense is that, excuse me, keep burping because all this beer. If it sounds
it's
weird,
all good.
It's because I'm burping.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that, like, I don't feel like people are... I don't know. Never mind. I don't want to talk more about it. But it's just, it's very frustrating. The whole thing is very frustrating, the way people are arguing about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's indefensible.
And I know, and people are trying by bringing Beyonce into it. It's like his answer, I don't know if the debates, you probably
didn't
want.
I did see the debate. Mm-hmm. I was on upstairs at the Comedy Cellar while I was waiting for my set. So we watched it, and there was like a youth group-like silence among the people of like this, it was like a... I don't know, like a abortion clinic waiting room silence of everyone just listening to the debates and shushing each other.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I went downstairs to do my set, and I heard an applause break come from the people watching the debates upstairs. I've never seen the Comedy Cellar like that.
Yeah.
I've been a regular there for 6 years. I've never once heard everyone shushing each other and watching the debates. Like, it was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, well, what Trump did is he immediately went into talking about ISIS. As soon as they asked him about his comments, he was like, yeah, well, we have people in ISIS chopping off people's heads. Like, look, bro, no one's arguing that fucking ISIS is worse than what you said.
Oh, I just thought of what I was going to say. Paula Jones was, like, saying, ask Bill Clinton if it's okay. You know, like, she did that whole thing. And so, like, basically Paula Jones, by saying that, is being like, she's either A, saying, I agree with you, what Donald Trump is saying is horrific, because when Bill Clinton right. said it to me, it's horrific, or she's saying, it's okay that Donald Trump does it because Bill Clinton did it.
I think that's so interesting. That's exactly
both
what
are
thought.
Horrible arguments.
Right. I mean, right. And the thing is they are both a problem in that they've all both been connected to that kind of thing. But why are these, so then why are these women coming out as like invitation of Trump?
Yeah, if you're a victim of what Bill Clinton did,
then
why are you happy that Donald Trump is doing it and justifying it over a decade later? It makes no sense. There's not even good argument logic there.
Right, which is, there's not very often anymore. I mean, yeah, so you don't keep up on politics. Is there like news or
things? This is the first time I've kept up on politics just because it's out there so much in everyone's face. Mm-hmm. I'm usually generally, my opinions on the world are very different than most people's, I think.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a hippie about that stuff. I think mm-hmm. that... I think
it might have been me.
I think it's a very interesting times.
Yeah.
As far as like everything's kind of money, you know, like when someone says like food needs to be healthier and like, you know, like Michelle Obama did that whole like, let's lose weight and like, let's watch our money. And then the FDA was like, ha, shit, we pay your bills. And if you want relaxation. And so then she's like, I meant just go outside and exercise. Don't worry
let's
about the
move.
Food. Yeah. And it wasn't her fault or anything. It was just that like everything's tied up so much financially that her hands are tied. And the same with like guns. Like people are just getting murdered left and right. And babies are shooting their sisters and brothers. And then when we try to say like, all right, let's try to do something, the NRA is like, shay, we pay your bills running. So everything's so tied up in money that nobody can really make any kind of progress, which makes me more suspicious or allergic to the idea of a businessman being in office. The
right.
only thing I trust less than a politician is a businessman.
Yeah, I think they're all the same.
Make business decisions, using financial trickery and using like doing what's best for the wallet and not what's best for the human.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing what's best for the human, even if it costs me extra money.
Yeah, I see. I just got a new tweet, by the way, about someone trying to blame something. Anal sex epidemic. Porn blamed for sharp increase in unwanted activity. So what Donald Trump said, it was in response to something he said about Trump. What Donald Trump said is in response to, is because of the anal sex epidemic.
Unbelievable. I know, like, that's another bad thing about social media is like everyone has a voice now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before social media, I wouldn't even have a voice. They'd be like, that's just that dumb comedian that mm-hmm. we love laughing at. He's like yeah. the jester of our community.
Mm-hmm.
But now even I get to weigh in on things, and it's slowly finding out I know more than most of the dumb people. Like, I'm like, wow.
I know. You wouldn't believe the kinds of things that I get on a routine basis are absolutely atrocious. Like, I came back from L.A. Like, I went to L.A. for a couple of days, and I just was, like, living
yeah,
just like, just a mess, and I gained, like, 2 pounds.
Yeah.
People noticed.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a very tiny person.
Yeah.
And they were like, you look bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, so is there somebody, like, screenshotting? And, like, I already lost it. It was, like, 2 pounds. Screenshotting me, like, am
yeah.
I keeping track of my weight?
Just, they're into you. That's
fluctuate.
What that means.
Exactly. Thank you for paying yeah. attention.
They like
it's you. Really, it's
like
really
the
how
way
I
you
feel.
Look.
Have you ever had, like, a stalker?
Yeah, but I don't talk about her because I know she's listening.
Mm.
Yeah, I've had a lot of stalkers. But they're all sweethearts, to be honest. They were all really nice and like polite at shows. They did some questionable things. But I've never had a dangerous stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Like having a stalker as a me is, and this is going to sound horrific, but I'm like 6'4", and it's always like ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario.
Wanting to bone you.
What am I afraid? But like as a woman, and like you said, a small woman, like stalkers for you is a much different subject.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could be taken.
I know.
Or
I,
hurt, or God forbid, anything else. But I'm fine with my stalkers. They're like, they're polite. They buy tickets. They're little. I have like three. I have a lot of fans, but I have like three people that I guarantee are the scariest interactions you've ever had, like online and stuff.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I have a restraining order against somebody, which I didn't even put out like the state of New York did, because he came from Pennsylvania to like watch me leave work. But this is a cool thing. Same stalker that Taylor Swift had to get a restraining order against.
Wow.
So that's like an A-list
You're really
stalker.
In good company, aren't you?
I don't get worried about it. I don't know. I probably should
Yeah, you
be.
Should. You're very small.
I should be. I could just get raped in the street.
I had a... easy now. People don't like the buzzword rape.
No, but...
That'll light up the
I don't
whole,
mean I don't like
light
rape.
Up the
I'm
ratings.
Not, I'm not pro-rape.
They'll edit that, and it'll just be like, Tim talks about getting raped in the street. what I was going to say, though, is one of the weirdest ones is my stalker would like bring gifts, like a lot of gifts. And one of them was a romance novel that she had written things on all sides of that were like dying to be with you, which is like my last name, Die. So it'd right. be like dying to be oh with you God. Or like love or die, right? Like all these like little like catchy things on a romance novel that was tied together so I couldn't open the book with her hair.
Shut up.
Yeah. Which I was like thinking like Wicca or something, like some kind of weird I was like, I don't even want to hold it. Like I'm afraid. Like a very like a lot of those kind of things. So it wasn't just like
how much hair.
Don't be afraid that if like you come to my shows, I'm suggesting you're a star. Like that's not what I'm saying at all.
No, yeah.
I'm saying like I've got three women that I could think of off the top of my head who if I was a woman and they were men, I would have already had either locked up or like a restraining order.
How much hair?
A lot of hair. And like long. It was so scary and weird.
Oh God.
I mean, it's kind of interesting, and I've talked about it a lot, and I've like been like in the green room, all these dudes were like, what is going on in your life? But so, and the weird thing is, like you said, it is somewhat flattering.
Yeah.
When you have someone that likes you that much, it does feel kind of cool. But
right.
then like it kind of oversteps this bounds where you're like, oh, great, now I'm worried because I sleep alone in a home.
Right, yeah, I know. Hair, that's new. That's creative. Yeah,
very strange.
That's absolutely, definitely. Did you read all the notes then on the margins?
Yeah, I mean, there's only like five or six of them, but it was still like mental illness at its finest.
Right, and it's like, what do they want? Do they think that it's going to be like, oh, this is what I've always wanted.
I should have sex with whoever brought this. That's a bad... Wait, so how do you know the guy that flew from Philadelphia to see you leave work?
Because he was going to a church. Well, because I'd been getting a lot of creepy emails.
He's a church man. Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of creepy emails, and I kind of just ignored them because like I get the most creepiest, and it all goes to like a separate folder, like from my website or whatever, and I don't really look at it.
That's why I just text you creepy things.
Yeah, you do.
I don't ever like email creepy
things. He sends it directly, which I appreciate.
Yeah, just straight. Don't mess around. No junk folder. I know it's going right to the source.
Mm-hmm, it's true. And
if you want to send her your creepy texts, it's 818-519-6811.
People are going to actually, that's totally not my number. People are going to actually like send.
Whatever number that is.
Yeah.
Get ready to change it.
It's wonderful. No, I mean, and he, so I just kind of ignored it. And then so I was contacted by the NYPD.
Right, which is short for New York Police Department.
Correct, for those of you listening. And he was going into a church and, like, talking to the priest and telling him that, like, he didn't know what to do because his wife wouldn't talk to him.
Aww.
And, like, all this other stuff. And his wife works for Fox News, and he's been watching her leave work across the street and all this stuff. So the priest contacted Fox, and Fox contacted the cops. And I guess this guy, so they told me, like, for evidence, like, check your email folder. And I looked, and there was, like, hundreds upon hundreds of emails. He's, like, describing what I'm wearing. He really was watching me leave.
Oh, my gosh.
At, like, certain times that I
was
actually
wearing?
Leaving.
Say it slowly.
You know what I was wearing, you know, my uniform. I was wearing like little dresses. And, you know, he's like, I saw it, and, you know, you better obey me. And I'm like, oh, shit. But here's the thing. He accepted a plea deal, but he originally wasn't going to, because if you go through trial, the penalty's worse. But I'd have to come in court and come testify.
And he'd get to see you.
So, yeah, it's like what they actually, like, always
you
wanted.
You should have testified while wearing some, like, sexy bikini or something. And then be like, I don't know what this guy's problem is.
Look, I could turn it
look,
into like
Your Honor, he's jerking off right now.
I could turn it into some like feminist thing. I'm like, I'm naked. I'm like, just so you know, I'm still not asking
for
it. I'm just
trying to free the nipple. And I don't know why these boys can't control themselves.
Yeah, I don't really want to free my nipples. I don't understand why that's like a feminist thing.
I'm a feminist. I say free them. That's what
I mean,
I say.
It's fine if you want to free the nipple, but Paul's here now.
Paul.
All right, cool.
electric.
Not a lot of small
electric from Paul.
Not a lot of small talk from Paul.
He didn't have a lot to say to me. He said, your ad reads are in your email.
Yeah, they went to the junk file with the stalker.
No, it's pretty. I mean, I get prison. I do get prison.
Isn't it kind of sad that what you tell a priest might later go to the NYPD? Isn't that kind of sad?
I feel like it generally doesn't, but I feel like...
Because what if a rapist or a murderer wants to confess his sins to a priest, and then they go out and snitch, and now you go to jail?
I feel like, especially from priests, it's a little hypocritical.
Yeah, it's not fair. Yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, I don't know. I guess you just can't trust anybody.
No.
I like going to confessional and wait, and then when the priest opens the little door, I say, I'll let you start.
I used to go to confession and take it so seriously.
Really?
Like I used to, when I was like younger, like middle school, high, like now I believe in nothing, but I used to be like really
you
Catholic.
You believe in nothing?
Well, I mean, I believe in like don't be an asshole. Don't like fuck people over that you love. But
so you believe in love?
I mean, that sounds kind of douchey too, but
why?
You know what I mean? Like I believe in love. Like,
I say that all the time.
That is how I feel, yeah. I guess. I mean, I don't, like, certain rules or whatever, and there's, like, whatever works for you, as long as you're not, like, just you know, ruining someone else's life in the process. I'm cool with all that. But
which does sound like a long religion, all those words you just said.
It does, like, but it isn't. Title. I don't know. But, I mean, I used to, like, really, I mean, like, Catholic school, it'd be like, and if you don't go to confession and you die without these mortal sins on your soul, then
they'll
you
put that fear in you.
You go to hell.
Yeah.
Including,
that's why you go to Mary.
Including, like, masturbating.
Yeah.
That's a mortal sin.
I did 12 years of Catholic school. I know way too much about that.
Like, isn't it weird that no dudes will be in heaven?
Yeah. That's what
not,
I'm saying.
Not a one.
And there are a very small percentage of women will be in heaven.
I don't know about women either. But
yeah, but there are way more dudes masturbating than women.
Maybe. Probably, yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah,
maybe.
You're right. Correct. But just, like, whatever God would be, like, damning these, like, 12-year-old boys to hell.
For, like, I think he probably watches it, like, what are they doing? I think he's, like, fascinated by it. Like, what a weird thing.
Yeah,
look at him. I meant for him to do that with a lady. But somewhere along the lines, it got perverted into, like, they have to wait till the government gets involved to do this with a lady. I don't know when that started. Not my words, because I'm God. Mm-hmm. But I will say, what he's doing right there in that bathroom is very weird.
I mean, I don't know what point I saw. Were you raised with, like, religion of any kind or not really?
I'm kind of a strange story with that. Like, my parents hated religion at a certain age.
Yeah.
When I was young. So it made me, like, attracted to it.
Mm.
Which is, like, the total opposite of most people's stories, that their parents were really into it and they reject. But I found rebellion the opposite way. But I really just did it because the kids were nicer there.
Were you, like, a youth group kid?
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine you being, like, a sexy youth group leader with a guitar.
That's nice of you. No guitar.
I joined the youth group for a little bit because I just thought those guys were so sexy, some of them.
I was cool. I was, like, the coolest Young Life leader ever. I was, like, Young Life leader. Yeah, I was, like, the fun, cool one, the funny guy. I did characters dressed up.
Yeah, the funny guy, the funny youth group leader. That's definitely, like, a thing. That's, like, definitely a thing. There was, like, all, like, you know, the Converse wearing, like, sexy.
But I think even, like, so this is going to sound real weird. I guarantee this has never been talked about on your podcast. But, like, what Jesus preached and talked about was exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Don't be an asshole. Love everyone. Be nice. Don't interfere with anyone else's happiness, which is also Taoism. And there was no shame people for being gay and shame people who are whatever. His best friend was, like, a prostitute. He didn't get married. He wasn't like, oh, well, I really have a crush on so-and-so from Gethsemane. Like, it's not like he was not the dorks you see running around right now in church. He was a wild man. And in fact, a rebellious barbarian of his time. And
yeah.
That, like, I'm into that.
Yeah, I'm into that. Yeah, I'm into
but I don't reject Jesus just because all these dorks are misrepresenting him. I think Jesus is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
Absolutely. I think Jesus is awesome, too. You know what else? You know what else is awesome? I'm going to do an ad read now.
Oh, no. After that?
Yeah, I've got to.
That's what Jesus
would have
wanted.
You don't have to.
I have to. I have to do
How about that cameo from Paul earlier? Can we talk about that?
Dude, Paul is a star. Paul
said... Never even met Paul, but I think he hates me, I'm pretty sure.
I went to, I went to Cancun with Paul for a video.
Oh, yeah? How big is his privates?
I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Just because we're on air.
You know what I do know? If you're like me, the shelf space in your bathroom is precious real estate.
No, because I don't live
in
New York.
That's why I'm excited to introduce you to a line of beauty products that is as great at multitasking as you are. Kapari. It's got no sulfates, no silicones, no GMOs, no parabens. Kapari products are made with, get this, 100% organic coconut oil. You got the coconut sheer oil. You got the coconut balm. You got the coconut crush scrub. You got the coconut body glow, which I do use on my legs before I go on the news.
Prove it.
Original.
It's me from Pennsylvania.
Coconut melts. And so you know what you should go ahead and do and say aloha to the best skin and hair of your life with Kapari. Go to kaparibeauty.com/cat, K-A-T as in me, to get 20% off your order. That's Kapari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/cat for 20% off. Every time I try to do an ad, then I had the guy who
Here's a new rule, Kat.
Yeah.
If you do a comedic podcast and you're going to add in these little ad things, because that's who pays the bills, right?
Yeah.
Corporations. Maybe tell them not to add puns in it. Just a good no pun ad. I don't know, you might get a comedian to sit through one without being
a
jerk.
It's okay because, okay, so I had the guy, you know, the guy who shot Bin Laden on here, and then he was telling me all these, like, war stories and horror stories about, like, watching people blow themselves up, and I was like, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
I can't talk about coconut oil right now. I love it. I really do use this stuff. My skin is very soft. Yeah. But
that's the best endorsement. What you just said
is
like you
I actually use it.
It's a great product.
My skin is very soft.
We don't
soft.
Need some weird, the coconutchy driving me crazy or whatever it was. I don't remember the pun, but it was pretty bad.
Do you not have enough shelf space?
Coca, not going to ever be able to live without this again.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, look, I don't know.
I liked it, though. You did great.
Thank you. I did my best. You know, that's all we can just do.
I threw Paul under the bus because I didn't want you to exploit me saying I love Jesus into a crappy ad.
They're just going to cut that. I love Jesus. And then they're going to share.
You know what else I love? Coconut oil on my legs.
Jeff, you come out as a Christian fundamentalist. I mean, I don't know. Oh, Jesus. See, I just use the name of the Lord in vain. That's what they call it. So that means that I'm in
also,
in
fundamentalist
trouble.
Is like the polar opposite of what I'm suggesting.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's the fun, absolute. Even like my dad was raised Southern Baptist and he was not allowed to dance.
Yeah.
You can, it's like, nonsense. A girl asked him to like the Sadie Hawkins dance and he was like, I can't go.
Right.
I'm not allowed to dance.
Everyone just, and I'm fascinated by this. I think about it every day. People just do what they see other people do.
Right.
And then they go, oh, that must be what we're supposed to do. In every level of everything.
Mm-hmm.
No one has ever thought, like, maybe this school thing doesn't fucking work.
Right.
And they go, well, if you're bad at that, sorry. Tough to, or like, oh, if you're not good at this job. Like, people do go to drugs and drinking and, like, extreme things because they're sick of this boring, monotonous nonsense. Well, I need to take pills for my... 80, I can't focus when I'm alphabetizing at my work. Yeah, because you're not supposed to be doing that. Humans aren't supposed to be doing this shit. Mm-hmm. Go live your life, man.
So no school? You're anti-school?
I didn't even, I barely graduated high school, but I didn't do any college. I think it was a nonsense. My GPA was like 1.8A7B. There was like letters in it and shit. It was so bad.
I loved school. I was good at school.
That was awful.
But I loved it because I was good at it.
I was just really social. I loved it for that aspect.
Oh, I was. I was a huge dork.
But it didn't work.
Yeah, I don't remember anything from school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like use geometry ever. Right. Nobody uses geometry ever. Well, like why would I need to learn that? Why do I need to agonize over that?
You don't. I'm living proof we don't need it. I can barely read and I'm very successful. I like human kindness. That's what they should be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm where I'm at is because people are like, I like the guy. He's nice.
When did you start doing stand-up?
2005.
Mm-hmm.
By 2008, I finished third on Last Comic Standing and made a show with Ashton Kutcher on MTV.
How was that? What show? Awesome. Was it the Numb
Nuts?
Awful show. Nuts,
yeah,
whatever
show? Numb Nuts. It was awful.
Can you please explain it a little
bit?
It
was, so at the time, Jackass was really huge on MTV.
Yeah.
And so every show was like all male branded, you know, like Numb Nuts, Jackass, CKY, there was another called the Dudesons. It was all like male programming, guys getting kicked in the balls, falling off stuff kind of thing. And that was... Our show was Jackass Meets Fear Factor. And it was like each episode was like $5 million budget, like per episode. And we did 12 episodes. It was insane. I mean, we had like choppers over a lake, like pulling guys on inner tubes and they're racing. I mean, it was very expensive, very dangerous.
Very
cool
expensive.
Stuff. It was awesome. Like a waste of money where people were like, geez, we're in an oil crisis right now. And these guys are renting choppers for 12 hours, just going around pulling guys in Mohawks, you know. And but it's fun and cool and a lot of explosions, a lot of cool stuff. But then Jersey Shore, a young lady named Snooki was punched in the face and MTV was like, we've got the new hit. Change everything to girl programming. So they changed everything to like Teen Mom and Jersey Shore and I can't think of many of the shows, but
my
they basically,
Super Sweet 16.
Yeah, they just switched. They basically said, "Listen, we found out who's watching our network, and it's not dudes. it's girls. Girls like the." So they switched everything, scrapped Numb Nuts, and they put it on. They put on the shelf. They shelved our show, which annoyed Ashton, and Jason Goldberg is the guy I'm leaving out of that. He was the guy I worked with every day.
I'm not gonna lie. I've seen every episode of Teen Mom too.
Right.
I don't know why.
You're a girl.
I don't know why I've seen it.
And at that age, that's what you were watching, I'm sure.
I mean, at this age, I'm still watching it when
new
season's coming.
I've never seen
it. The thing is like I don't know why I don't watch like the Teen Mom one. I've never
voyeurism.
I guess.
You like seeing
like,
other people's
Janelle's
lives?
Got a third baby from a third baby daddy. Oh, shit. She's right. done it again. And then I do. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, Catherine.
Good for me, Catherine.
You know what?
I haven't had a baby
a
or nothing.
Job. I have no babies and I yeah, never
good
will.
Good work.
And I never will.
But the network still liked me, so they gave me a show called Money from Strangers. It was like a prank show. It was in New York City. It was basically, it's been ripped off 10 times to Sunday lately because basically it became Impractical Jokers, which is a group version of my show. And there was a thing called Howie Mandel did one with Theo Von as the host, which was what we did in 2009. It was called Money from Strangers. Basically, I put a stranger into a place, and I tell them what to say and do. And no one can see me. And if they do what I tell them to say and do, they win money. And I have two comedians in a van down the road. It was in New York City. We would just, that's how we would.
Like, what kind of shit do you tell them to do?
Just anything we thought of that was funny. We were just most of the time, like, stoned or, like, drunk in the van. We just, like, we'd do anything. Because we could do as many as we wanted and then just air the best ones. Mm-hmm. So even though it was, like, a three-minute chunk, they would be in there for, like, 45 minutes. And we're just having them do all this different stuff. And then Ellen was, like, starting to do it on her show. But she would do it with celebrities, which was awesome because we didn't have access to celebrities. And so after that, then Howie Mandel's like, I can get celebrities to do this, you know. So it kind of became this thing. So then we had two seasons of that and it got canceled, and then I did all my other stuff.
And you what do you have like anything like, what do you do like now? You're just doing like a lot of stand-up and like various TV stuff and
well, actually, funny you should ask, Kat.
Yes,
I have a TV show on NBC called Better Late Than Never.
Okay.
It's a travel show. It's based off a Korean format called Grandpa's Over Flowers. It was basically, the premise is, let's say I say to you, hey, do you two want to come with me tomorrow to Japan and we're going to go skydiving over Mount Fuji? And NBC's going to pay for it? They're going to film the whole thing? You'd say, yeah, when do we leave?
Yes, I do.
But if I asked your grandpa to go with me, he'd be like, no, I don't want to go skydiving. I definitely don't want to go with you. And that's the premise of the show. One young, dumb idiot abroad, meets grumpier old men, four old men, with me in Asia for 8 weeks. And the four old men was Terry Bradshaw, was you, George Foreman, William Shatner, and Henry Winkler.
Oh, my God.
The show did really, really well. We broke a lot of records. We crushed it this year.
I haven't heard about this. George Foreman.
It's very popular. It's
William
streaming.
Shatner.
It's streaming
Have
on.
You heard about this?
That's a lineup and a half.
Yeah.
It's streaming right now. It crushed in the ratings. Season 2 starts in February. We don't know where we're going yet, but it'll be 11 episodes instead of this one because this was just like a short.
Same four guys.
Same four guys and me. We're hoping to do 20 seasons. We want to see the whole world. It was so fun. And since Terry Bradshaw has to broadcast till February, we can't shoot season 2 till February. So since then, or until February, I'm on a show called MTV Acting Out, which is basically just your stand-up and then someone acts it out so you can watch it being like acted out while you're telling it. I'm on two episodes of that, which comes out in the next couple months. I'm on Lip Sync Battle November 10th. I battle Rob Riggle. And then I have my own game show on Spike TV called That Awkward Game Show, which comes out tomorrow, which is why I'm in New York City doing press.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to picture, does George, like the skydiving thing, was that a metaphor? Does George
Foreman?
Yeah,
that's just me like using an example.
I'm just like picturing George Foreman flying through the sky.
Yeah, no, they definitely weren't trying to skydive. But like the idea is just like a lot of old people are done doing adventure. And they think that because they're old, they can't do stuff. But this show teaches everyone, go out, have fun, and like go try new things and see the world. And we rode elephants, and we went to a monkey cave. And
George Foreman on an elephant, pretty funny.
Sumo wrestled. We did everything.
Good content.
It's a lot. It was an insane adventure, and it was just four old guys and me.
That's did you know the old guys ahead of time?
No, no one knew each other. We suggested that we did for the opening of the show because we needed to just get into what the show was, which is a little dishonest, but the rest is 100% reality, and not like reality like the Kardashians or the reality like Duck Dynasty. Like, this is very unproduced. This is very just us having a good time and use what's good and scrap what's not.
So do you and George Foreman have a texting relationship?
Yeah, good. Yeah, all four of those guys I'm very, very close, with. Me and Terry talk almost every day. The only one I wasn't close with the whole time was Bill Shatner. But that's just
because you call him Bill. So
well, everyone calls him Bill on the
close.
Show. He makes everyone call him Bill, so it's William. But we didn't get along all the time. But we're very close now, and also we came to like love each other. He was just wouldn't let
there's
me in.
There's a you, and that's like one of the turning points of the show. There's like a you and Billy beef, and
you
then
think that we get along the whole time if you watch it, but the truth is no. Well, and it's just he's a different person than me. Like mm-hmm. I'm like a dog. I just go up to people and I'm like smiley, and I want to talk, and I want to get to know everyone, and I can be annoying, and mm-hmm. you just push me off like a dog. Like, all right, Jeff.
Yeah.
But Bill's not like that. Bill's like a cat almost, where you kind of got to earn his respect, and you got to earn his whatever, and I kissed his ass long enough and tried to love on him long enough that he let me in.
That's nice. Yeah. That's a very beautiful story.
Beer number two.
Go for it. I'm already on beer number two. I just would love, I don't know if I could be trusted with George Foreman's number. I think I would just be like on the late night, be like, George Foreman.
Really?
What are you doing?
That's hilarious. Well, George is the preacher.
I know.
So you would get along with him the least.
No, but he would like me.
He wouldn't even be in shots with me because I drink. So he would be like,
really?
Why is Jeff always cussing? And he'd be like, one night Terry bought cigars from like this awesome place for somewhere in Thailand. And it was in Hong Kong. And Terry's like, I got all of his cigars tonight, because we're staying in this incredible, it's like one of the nicest hotels in the world, the penthouse at the Intercontinental in Hong Kong. It's like an 8-bedroom, insane rooftop, like on Hong Kong. It's incredible. We were there for one night, and Terry's like, I'm getting us all cigars, I'm getting us beers, and we had this really touching moment, which we do talk about on the show. And in the show, they said that George went to bed, which is true, he did go to bed, but the reason he went to bed is because we were smoking cigars. He was like, I can't be around that. I was like, cigars? I was, what are you talking about? Like, in my mind, I'm like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah. George?
So he's a sweetheart, and I love him, but he's also a little...
So you don't like, do you like watch your mouth around George?
Mm-mm.
Does he swear? He doesn't swear.
I do what I want all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man.
Right.
I'm not gonna not, I didn't not curse
but in it's
high
George.
School. Like in high school, I farted as loud as I could and I cursed and I was like, I'm a human.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm so fascinated with George Foreman. Just like seeing him travel around is like very interesting.
He's
me.
Awesome. Well, one thing that's impressive about him, he'll eat anything.
Mm.
And he'll sleep anywhere.
What do you
which
mean?
Which is two traits that are great for travel. So like I would always often find things in the markets and be like, I wonder if George would eat this, and I'll just buy it. It's like 8 cents or whatever. But like I'd buy like old big roaches, or like they have these eggs in Thailand that are like black,
yeah.
And the inside is like you can see a little ducky in there, you know. I like gross things, and I would buy things, and I'd come back and like, go, George, I got some, and he would just no hesitation, like nothing bothered him. And then also wherever we were traveling, whether it was like a really small uncomfortable place, like on a bus. We booked a karaoke bus one day to go up to this lookout. He would sleep on it. Or if like we're in a capsule hotel, he'd sleep. It wouldn't matter if it was comfortable or not comfortable. He would fall asleep.
I kind of like it, Coley. What do you think?
I mean, that man's taken a lot of blows to the head. So none of this.
Just
none
likes
of this
to rest,
surprise,
baby.
Yeah.
Just likes to rest.
Seems like a guy who could sleep any place, anytime.
Well, he did most of the destroying. If you look at George's career.
He did, but he just fought so long. Like, he was fighting,
oh,
he was fighting into, like, the 90s.
I think he was Evander Holyfield the oldest heavyweight, or was George? I think George might have been the oldest heavyweight.
They fought each other in the 90s. That's gosh, what it was. And it was just not a good look.
I'm looking
I think
up,
George is the oldest heavyweight champion.
I'm looking up his Twitter right now.
It might be Evander.
The official account of Big George Foreman.
Big
so,
George.
Yeah, The two-time heavyweight champion of the world and... King of the Grill.
It's true.
That's all good shit. That's all.
Do you know his
shit.
Children's name, Kat?
No, I don't.
I bet you do. You just don't know.
Is
you
it
do.
George? They're all George,
they're
right?
All
seven
George.
Georges, one
I'm
Georgina.
I'm trying to play it cool because yeah. I think
it's like five Georges and one Georgina or something.
That's a power move.
It's a lot of Georges.
I mean, like that's the kind of thing that you'd be like, haha, wouldn't it be funny if I did? But he just straight up did that.
Well, they all have nicknames, too, like Red, Big Wheel. He calls them all. Like, they've never used that name unless
right.
It's, like, on, like, legal. Whatever.
So you've met all the Georges?
Nope. I only know a couple of them. A
couple of them. How many? Yeah.
You know, half of the Georges.
Yeah, half of the Georges.
How many are there?
Well, because I've never been to East. Lives in Houston. And I see Big Wheel is the guy who went with him. So when we were there, Big Wheel is also his manager and is, like, whatever. So every night I hung out with his son when we were in Asia.
I'm sorry. I'm talking a lot about George Foreman.
It's okay.
Just
I love George Foreman.
It's just very cool.
Happy to
right?
talk
I'm,
about him.
I'm all in on George Foreman. I don't think this is a bad topic at all.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm like, I want to watch him sleep. Does
I think this
snore?
Is like the most Barstool Sports thing you've done.
Right. You've just, finally a
just
sports thing.
Chopping it up about George.
Well, George also, like, I texted him the night Muhammad Ali died. I was in New York City. I was doing Gotham Comedy Club. Wait. I'm trying to remember where I was. I think I was in New York City. Mm-hmm. Anyways, and I texted George this long thing, like, hey, man, like, I'm sure you're sad, and I'm sure that, like, this is really uncomfortable. Like, he was a big part of your story, and you were a big part of his story. So at least you have that, like, that you're forever going to be part, like, the Rumble in the Jungle and the Muhammad Ali's greatest speech ever. Like, I'll show you how great I am. I listen to that, like, once every few days. It, like, jacks me up. It makes me feel confident. It makes me feel like... it's okay to be confident. It's okay to say that you're great. We live like, especially as a comedian, we live in such a, like, a self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Like, everyone identifies with, like, I'm such a douche.
My dick's the smallest, and no one wants to have sex with me. It's so disgusting watching comedy. Yeah.
Successful. I'm confident. Like, I tell people all the time I'm the greatest. And Muhammad Ali's speech when he said, "I'll show you how great I am," he was doing that to intimidate George Foreman. He was, like, sitting right next to George, and I was like, "How beautiful is that? That, like, George Foreman is." A part of that, and George, like, sent me this long thing, like, I love you, and that means so much, and, you know, Muhammad Ali is one of the greatest men I've ever known. Forget boxing, he's one of the greatest humans I've ever met.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of a, I don't know, I felt a little special, like, look, my link to Muhammad Ali.
I do think we need more of that. I think now with, like, I don't know, even people like my age or whatever, it's the more you talk about your insecurities, like, the cooler you are, and, you know, to be like, oh, you know, I feel bad about this or that. Like, I'm a confident person, and yeah. I feel like that makes me an asshole.
I'll never subscribe to that. I'll never, ever, because it makes me sad.
Yeah.
I want to be happy, and I'm a happy dude. Like, I'm the happiest guy I know, and it's because I don't go around going, like, finding identity in my flaws.
But they do. That's a perfect way to put it, to find identity. People have made entire careers off of, like, I'm a body positivity, a.k.a. I think I'm fat and I can't stand it. Or, like, I'm this active, a.k.a. And, like comedy, too. Like, even when I did comedy, I was always on show. Like, the host or whatever, this was always this twerpy little dude that'd be like, they try to fuck this girl, but she was like, is it in? My dick's too small. Right. Oh, like, nobody calls me back. And I'm
Well, even Louis does that.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is, like, he's supposed to be like, God, no girl wants to fuck me, and I'm so broke. You're not broke. I'm sure of it. And I could name 20 girls in this room who will fuck you. Like, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost their perspective. It's like Chris Rock trying to talk about how broke he is. It's like, I don't buy it anymore.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so there's, like, and there should be some other things to draw from like that. And it's, like, a very annoying.
And why do people think their own, like, self-hatred is so interesting to other people that I don't get either?
Well, it's like, if I complain about myself, then everyone just tries to build me up and say, hey, man, come on, don't be such a mope. But if I'm, like, way up here and I'm like, dude, I'm the greatest, man. I'm killing it. Like, I'm, like, making great money. I'm on network TV. I'm on cable. I'm on this. Then people are like, whoa.
Right.
Easy, Mr. Hotshot. I was like, no, I don't care anymore.
I've dated a guy, like, this has been more than one guy, but it happened recently also. Who, you know, I'll talk about my job or I'll say something about it, and they're like, you know, they'll admit that they're, like, insecure about my career and where it is, and they're like,
that they can say that.
It's good that they can say that, but it's a thing for me. I think it's different also for women too, because I think it's excited. Yeah. I'm excited. I love my job. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I was, like, couch surfing homeless 5 years ago, and I'm sorry, but I'm crushing it.
Yeah. Like, well, and also though, people might hear this and think that's weird, but whoever's listening to this should also be behaving this way. Be proud of what you've done.
Exactly.
You should also be confident and happy, and happiness is a choice. Like, I don't know how many times something really cool has happened with a celebrity in my life that I'm friends with, and when I start to tell the story, I'll say, and he's got a lot of money, and he's kind of like a well-known guy. I'll leave their name out because I think they're going to think I'm a douche.
Yeah.
And then in my mind, I'm like, why am I watering down my stories? Because this guy might judge me for it.
Yeah.
He's too, I'll just say it, fucking Terry Bradshaw told me to, like, but if I, that does happen sometimes. I'll say Terry Bradshaw and they're like, oh, you're hanging out with Terry Bradshaw. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like my dad. And I'm not going to make this story easier for you to swallow because you're jealous that I'm hanging out with Terry Bradshaw.
I know. I get that too. And, like,
you don't have to feel bad about it.
Going back to what you were saying too, even when I was couch surfing homeless, I still thought I was the shit.
And you should, because there's nothing shameful about it. And that's the thing, is I think what you said about, like, body shaming, like or not body shaming, but, like,
body
them
positivity,
they're pretending, like, to be body. If they genuinely, like, 100% are happy with the way their body looks, like, however that might be, then that's awesome. But if they're lying to themselves and they're not really body positive, they're just saying that, then that's what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ralphie May, John Panette, Gabriel Iglesias. Trying to think of another good example, but there's three fat comedians who've made a huge living off of being overweight guys. All of them got a little scratch in their pocket, and the first thing they did was lose weight. Mm-hmm. All of them were trying to lose weight, trying to get it off. You know, even though the branding was like fluffy guy and I don't give a fat and all this different stuff. And when it comes down to their core of confidence, they felt like a little like they wanted to do the right thing. So should I shame them for like subscribing to society's idea of what is beautiful? Or should, you know, it's like it's a very strange slippery slope on all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Terry Bradshaw's like your dad. That's pretty cool.
He's a great man.
That's great. Tell me one story. What's a fave?
One of them I don't feel comfortable telling on the air, but it's my favorite story, and it like brings tears in my eyes, but I won't share that. just because it's like a little vulnerable towards my parents.
Mm, okay. That's a lot.
way to go, Kat. Way to go.
Me and Terry, I spend every Sunday at Fox Sports. I go watch all the football games with him, which everyone's like, all my friends are like, oh, dude, the Rams came to L.A. We should get season tickets. And I'm like, nope. I go to Fox, I get free drinks, I get free food. I'm friends with all the people that like work there. I'm really good pals with Krista Thompson, who's a Fox reporter.
Yep.
I'm good. You know, I got Terry there, Howie there, Michael Strahan. I got all of them, and they come into this room. It's called the Avocado Room. It has every game on a flat screen because they want to watch the games too.
Right.
Just because they're working doesn't mean they don't want to see what's going on. So they'll come in the room and watch it with. It's like this great living room of just awesome people, and so that's where I watch the games every Sunday.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, I see him every. I get to spend every Sunday with Terry. It's awesome.
It's pretty nice.
And then in February, when all that's over, which I'm hoping the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl, because I'll go to it.
Easy.
It's at Fox. I don't know. I'm hoping. And so if they go, I'll go watch my Seahawks win the Super Bowl in February, and then I'll be off to, I think, India is where we're going. I'm not sure yet. With Terry.
And yet, that's so great. That's such a great crew. I kind of can't get over, and I can't believe I've never seen
it. You should watch the show.
It.
I think you'll like it. It's so. This word is usually described to describe awful TV shows, but it's very safe. I haven't met anyone who's watched the show that's like either 13 years old or like 100 years old that doesn't like it. It's like very like palatable. Like people are either crazy about it or like, that's good. Like nobody's offended. Nobody's, it's like a nice show.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Does George Foreman snore when he falls asleep in public?
No.
I snore.
You snore?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, that's probably why you're committed to never being in a relationship.
No, I don't think so.
Because you have issues with dudes being like, man, I was trying to sleep by you, and you snore.
I've never slept next to a dude who didn't snore.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you hook up with, like, black guys. Huh?
I mean, I
what a strange stereotype I just created.
Like, yeah. I'm like,
the snoring,
all black guys
snore
for some reason.
I mean, what?
Like, what a weird, like, I just came, like,
is that, I'm
I was almost so obscured that it wasn't racist.
I'm Googling it to see if it's a thing.
I don't think that
it's
can
not
be
a
racist.
Thing.
Yeah, just, they're like, what?
If you make up stereotypes.
You know how Asian people are, they love bubble wrap. And like, what? this guy's an idiot, but he's definitely not racist.
Yeah, I just Googled it. It's not a thing. You're the first person to say that snoring.
Well, you know, I think why I said
thing.
It is one of my good buddies, Tony Rogers, is like this 6'8" giant black dude.
Oh, you're not racist. You have black friends.
Well, no, but he just crashed in my hotel room like, what was it, 4 nights ago in Syracuse? I was like at the Funny Bone, and he crashed in my room, and it literally sounded like a bear was like, it was the loudest, like most horrific. And I think just me trying to be funny off the spot was like, you must hang out with Tony Rogers, who's a black dude. Black dudes.
It's all right. It's a horror, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know. You snore. I'm sure you snore.
Cooley?
Yeah. Cooley. We sleep together all the time.
Yeah, right. I usually fall asleep second, so I think it's fine.
I don't snore.
Yeah, you do.
I don't, I promise.
Yeah, how do you know?
I drool.
Yeah, you drool. You're
occasionally,
a heavy drooler.
I drool a little because my nose, if you can tell, my voice is very strange. And I think I have nose issues. So, like, I'll sleep with my mouth open. And I was always, like, drool.
See? That's nobody's.
I'm also more of a chick when it comes to, like, bed stuff.
What do you mean?
So, I'm not, like, a big romance guy like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how I live. But when I'm in a bed with a lady, I'm the one that she has to be like, hey, all right, I'm like getting hot because I like be cuddling. Like, yeah. I'm like a very like grip something while I sleep, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
the only way to sleep.
I like to snuggle, absolutely.
Whether it's a pillow or a lady.
Do you steal all the blankets too?
Nope. pretty, but I'm also very gangly, so you gotta have a big bag.
Oh, I'm right there with
I'm
you.
Long. So if I want to stretch out, it's like Jesus, this guy.
You live by yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. I never will not. I feel like.
Yeah. No.
I love it.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard Simon Cowell has like a partner, like a woman,
mm-hmm.
and she has her own house, and he has his own house right next to each other.
I love that arrangement.
And he's like. My lover, and that's the one I'm with, but I don't want to live in the same house. And I don't know if that's true. I've heard that from a very unreliable source. But in my mind, I was like, how great is that? You get your own things, your own paintings, your own decoration. You don't have to compromise. Like, honey, I think this should go here. No, you have your house. Decorate it however you want. Come over tonight at 5. We'll have our little date. We'll make dinner. We'll watch a movie. We'll do it. Hook up, and then go to your own house. But we're still together. It's not offensive.
I don't even understand how you have to share a room, a bedroom. Yes. I don't ever want to share a bedroom with anyone.
Right.
Ever. How does that work?
How
awful. Do you do that? How do you do that?
I've never been put in that situation, never had to deal with it.
No, I won't. I refuse to.
No, you just mean the physical bed or like the closet space?
No, like the closet space.
That's what
like,
she means.
Yeah, like, no, if like I would love to have my own fucking closet in a different room. That'd
like,
be sick.
What do I do with all my shit? Like, you know, my, like, what do I, like, what if you don't like my, like you were saying, what if you don't like my shit? What if you don't like the painting that I
probably
like,
won't.
What if you don't like that? You probably wouldn't.
Safe guess that I'm probably not into the same decor as you.
Probably not.
Men and women are attracted to, like, different, like, isn't this cute? And I'd be like, yeah, so cute. I don't want it in my home.
Mm-hmm.
It's too cute for where I live.
I have a cat, too, which some people really don't like.
She's going to throw it in the Staten, off the Staten
I said
Island
after
ferry.
He dies, it'll be a cats. Nice memorial. I have a cat.
I have a problem. I don't know. I don't appreciate. I guess it's just that I'm such an OCD, like clean dude, that I do have issues with something pooping in sand, like in that. But there is a clean way to deal with that.
Yeah, like, it's like in
like
a totally
if you just
different
like
area.
Were like clean about it and took care of it. But I find a cat just as, or a litter box just as offensive as a messy woman.
Yeah.
Like all of that is a turnoff to me. So yeah, I say if it was a clean woman. Who took care of her cat cleanliness?
I clean the litter box.
Then it'd be fine.
Every single day before I leave and when I get home. Because, like, why would I want to sit in a... And yeah. Why would pooping I myself want to sit in a house yeah. where there's shit?
Well, have you ever seen those cats on the internet that poop in a toilet?
Yeah.
Is that pretty practical? Or is that, like, are those cats, like, talented cats?
I don't know.
I think it's a talented cat.
Okay. Yeah, it's not, like, a thing that any old cat could...
I don't think so. My cat's kind of fair. Like, he couldn't figure it out. But he's my buddy. He's, you know, I'm a big fan.
Do you like him because it's very non-committal? You can be gone for like 24 hours,
that's part
maybe
of the reason
longer.
Why I like it. That's part of the reason why I like it. Yeah. Dog, you gotta like, I'd be freaking out right now. Like, did the dog shit everywhere? Right. I have to go home. I have to take him for a walk.
Yeah.
My cat, I can leave him there for a very long time. He snuggles me at night. He's fun. He plays. He runs around. He's
cute.
I'm
guessing he's the little spoon.
He's a little spoon, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he sits on my shoulder like a little parrot when I'm doing work.
Like, oh, that's
and
cute.
I'm like, this is the shit. It's like the lowest maintenance relationship for the best emotional benefit that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Me and this
They
cat.
Are kind of funny. I think cats are funny. That sometimes they look at me and I just fucking start cracking up.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We've already been like talking for a little bit, huh? I mean, we're just drinking beers and we're like hanging out.
That's what podcasts are.
Being pals.
This is what you do.
That's
how
it's supposed to be.
I think so too. I don't ever, I'm never like, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about this.
Like Fox News.
And we're going to talk about, well, that's like a whole different form.
How did, I'd like to know how you found yourself on Fox News. No offense.
No, it's okay. I was doing stand up and like writing columns and stuff. And basically, the way that I got hired was as I met Greg Gutfeld. Mm-hmm. He had me on Red Eye. He let, you know, I've been on Fox.
Is he gay or not?
No. I've been on a bunch of different shows.
I ask the hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. I've been on a bunch of different shows talking about like, because I, you know, make fun of like the PC type of thing a lot. So they'd have me on for that. And then when I met him, it was kind of like he was starting his own show. So mm-hmm. then he like brought me aboard. But I do get that question a lot. Like a lot of people have known me throughout my life. They're like, uh-huh.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is an interesting thing. Well, you remind me of a woman that I'm very fond of, a very, very, very good friend of mine, Cheryl Burke.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl Burke is on Dancing with the Stars. Every time that she has been on a scenario like this, she is very, network TV, I'm a company lady. Excuse me. But if you get Cheryl Burke with some beers and hang out, woo, it is awesome. Like, she She goes hard in the paint. Like she drinks. She has hilarious opinions. She's one of the funniest women. She's very she's just all. I mean, she's wild. I mean, she's great. And then she has to turn it on when she gets. I'm dancing with Ryan Lochte this week. Like,
everybody.
And it's a very interesting tug of war in her heart, in my opinion, with a lot of the things that she has to be on television.
Everyone always asks me about the posture that I do on TV, where I'm like this, yeah. Because that's just. It sounds like I don't sit like that.
Well, people love but boobs. Keep doing you.
It sends like a mental signal to my brain that I'm like, okay, no fuck word. Right now,
you're turning it on.
Yeah, it really does. And I've never said anything I've disagreed with on the air, and I have gotten a lot of shit for refusing to do that from viewers. But you know, I'm a lot more chill.
Right.
Like right now, I'm like not wearing tons of makeup. I'm wearing like a sweater and I hang out, and I'm not sitting up. Like it's just a mental signal kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't know.
Do you feel like Fox? Do you feel like you've misrepresented your take at any time?
No, I've never said anything I've disagreed with, but it is different. Like I guess obviously hanging out with me, just like I think anybody's different at work. Most people are different at work. Nobody, everyone's different. I'm not at Barstool. Coley's like, no, I'm not.
You've got the only two dudes ever who have not.
I'm dipping and drinking all day long, but also working for Gutfeld's fun. Like it's a very easygoing environment. It's just in terms of whenever you're on the news.
I didn't really appreciate that there was a wrestler on the show who was like passionately grumpy the whole time. I was like, I was so excited to meet that dude, and then like he was just putting off this energy of like, I'm right, anyone that disagrees is gonna get a power bomb. I was like, what are you mad at me for? Like, it was like the weirdest.
Yeah,
even when I agreed with him, I felt like he was aggressive towards me about it. I was like, this is why I don't deal with politics, because people can't, like, let's say I say something political and you disagree with me, and there's one of two reactions. Either A, you're offended because you disagree with me and you think I'm stupid, or you think I could be right and that bothers you because now I've questioned something that you believe in. If you think that I might be right, let's have a conversation about that, because now I might be able to actually have some purpose in this argument. But if you think that I'm so stupid and wrong that I've offended you, stick around and try to convince me of your opinion. Don't write me off. That's not what we do to stupid people. We don't just go, you're such a moron, I hate you. You just say, hey, such a moron, I'd like to teach you what I believe. Like, that's how humans should behave.
Yeah, I've never had that experience with Tyrus, but maybe you have.
And it was very weird.
Yeah, he's always been very nice to me. But I have no problem disagreeing with him or giving him shit, and I agree with you.
I love him. He's a wrestler. He's funny. Like, everything about him, I was like, dude, I can't wait to give this dude a big old bear hug and shit. And then the second I got in there, he was like, kind of like, he was already in politics mode. And I was just like, well, I guess this guy hates me for no reason at all.
Oh, man, I don't even know what.
He's very strange.
I was nice to you.
Yeah.
You were nice. I'm a nice girl.
The other girl was nice too, Jillian.
Yeah, Jillian.
She's awesome.
She's very smart. Cool. She's like ridiculously smart.
Yeah.
But, you know. All right, well, where's about time to go? We're about over now, but is there anything you want to, this will come out like next month. What, you know, you got to run too. This will come out like next Monday, if there's anything you want
to,
I mean.
Every Wednesday on Spike TV, 10 o'clock after Lip Sync Battle, I watch That Awkward Game Show. It's about adults and their, or parents and their adult kids competing to win money by finding out horrific truths about each other.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, everybody.